Several times this last fall, and George is a longtime friend of mine. I was really excited to know he was coming to be your interim pastor. He's a great guy, and I've been praying for him since he's had some of these things going on. I know you will continue to pray for him too. I'm going to do tonight. George told me what to do tonight. He had a script. I know that you got Sunday, I think 5 days with specific things to pray for. Do y'all have that with you? Okay, well, I'm going to read part of it because part of what we're going to do tonight is George wanted us to take each one of those days and kind of pull out some main points to pray over. So we're going to do that in a moment, but it is good to see you. Can I tell you a quick joke to make sure you don't go to sleep? This couple were a farm couple, and their prize bull died. And so the husband said, I'm working on a farm. I don't have time. I'm going to send you to the stockyards and get us a new bull. And I got $500. You can't spend over $500. And this is way back in the day. So she went to the stockyards, bought a bull for $499. She thought my husband was going to be so excited. And this was in the day where for telephones, you use telegraph. So she went to the telegraph office. She said, "Sir, I got to send a telegraph to my husband to come and get this bull I just bought for $499. And so I want to send him something." And she said, "How much is it?" And he said, "It's a dollar a word." She said, "Oh my, a dollar a word. I've spent $499 for the bull. I've got $1 left. He's got to bring the truck and get this bull." And that telegraph operator said, "Well, I'm sorry. That's how much it cost." She said, "Okay, send him this one word, comfortable." Comfortable. He said, "Well, okay." So he sent the word comfortable, took her dollar, and said, "Ma'am, I'm glad you've done that." But he said, "He won't know what to do. And what are you going to do?" And she said, "Well, you don't understand my husband. He'll get this, and he reads real slow. He'll read it, and it'll say, 'Come for the bull.'" Come for the bull. Okay, there you go. Oh, goodness. I want to review some things that George said to you Sunday night, because he shared with me some things that he shared with you. Let me ask you a question. Do you believe in prayer? Do you believe that prayer changes things? Do you believe that prayer changes you? Do you believe that prayer can change your church? I would agree with all of that personally. Prayer is such a powerful thing, and you're focusing on Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. If you want to turn to that passage, you're focusing on this week and in the days ahead, George told me, and we want to look at that. A couple things George said Sunday night, and I want to add too. He was talking Sunday night about a lack of unity is one of the biggest enemies Satan uses against the church of God. And we know that, and he will use all types of deception to cause problems and to get churches to be not be unified. And that's what he does a big job at. And so he shared with you that any church will not move forward without a unity and direction and purpose and spirit. And I know there's a lot of issues. I've been around a long time. I've been in a lot of churches. And it's always interested me that a lot of churches have problems not over major theological issue, but over stupid stuff. I was at a church once, and they had just built a Christian Life Center. This has been years ago. I think they spent like $2.5 million. Voted like that to spend $2.5 million. Then spent 3 hours arguing on whether they should put a Coke machine in the new Christian Life Center. Now think about that. We sometimes aren't as wise as we should be. So you're focusing on prayer at this time that George is leading you and being unified as a body. And that is really, really important. And we're going to pray through this scripture tonight as you've been doing and will continue to do. I think he wants you to do this every day this week. I believe he told me, and that's a good thing. Divisiveness and disunity is, again, one of Satan's main topics for distracting and derailing church leaders and just sowing discord and sowing lies. You know, right now, with all that's going on in our world, I've read the intelligence, I think, that England had shared about some of the disinformation Russia is telling their people in order to go in and do what they're getting ready to do and maybe doing right now. It's just evil. And Satan uses misunderstandings, and he uses that to form discord and disunity in the body of Christ and among us as believers. Let me tell you something Satan does not like at all. Really strong Christian fellowship. He hates it. He hates it when we get along, when we pray for each other like you just got through doing, when we love each other, when we forgive each other, when we bear each other's burdens. He doesn't like that at all, because we're being the New Testament church and we're being like Jesus. And prayer is one of our greatest offensive weapon against the powers of Satan. And he also told you that unity is not uniformity or conformity. I've always said in churches I have served, we can disagree agreeably. I've been in ministry for close to 50 years, believe it or not. Of course, I'm just 29, but it's hard to believe that. But I've been in a lot of churches where we decided to do something, and I thought, that's not really what I wanted to do. But the church decided to do it, and we did it. I didn't afterwards say, hey, I'm a pastor, and I wanted something different on that, this project or whatever. You know what I'm saying? We disagree, but once we make a decision, we need to be together. And unity is solidarity among believers, focusing on the mission of the church. That's the thing that churches need to be reminded over and over. Our mission is to make disciples and reach this community for Christ. Amen? And is that job done yet? Are there any lost people in Bourbon County? Okay, because there's a bunch of them in Woodford County, where I live, and Fayette County. And our job is to share with them. And that's really, really important. So division is focused on self, but unity is always focused on God. What gets us in trouble a lot is our preferences. You know what I mean? Preferences aren't really that important, because all of us have different tastes for food, for music, for clothing. You know, we have different preferences, right? And sometimes those preferences we raise up almost above Scripture, and that's always a mistake. God designed the church, as you know, to operate like a body. You've got one body that God gave you, right? And you need to take care of it and do all you can to keep it healthy. And your body, when it's working together, you feel good. When it's not working together, you feel miserable, right? And so the church is God's body, and he wants us to work together. One of the most important things, too, in a church, again, I'm kind of going on a couple of notes that he shared with you, is he said that unity requires clear communication and a clear biblical vision, and that's true. Communication is hard. I've been married 47 years to the same woman, and she's been married 47 years to the same man. And we know each other real well, but we still have to work on communication, because she thinks differently than I think. Does that make sense? And so we have to work on that. And a lot of times churches get in trouble because we think everyone knows what we're doing. We assume, right? In a relationship like marriage, never assume your spouse understands you and knows what's going on, okay? Don't assume that, because particularly you guys, because usually we don't have a clue what's going on. Am I right, ladies? Ladies kind of have that built-in sixth sense of understanding. So if we guys, we don't have a clue. We don't have a clue. I'll just be honest with you. So tell us, if you will, because we don't know. but just that communication is so important to get on the same page. Let me share this. I don't know where I learned this at, but I've used it a lot doing marriage retreats. I'm speaking over at a church in Richmond for a marriage conference Saturday night. But good communication has three parts. You've got a sender. That's usually someone who's talking, right? You've got a receiver. That's usually the person you're talking to or listening to. But it doesn't end there. You can have a talker and someone listening and have absolutely no communication. You say, how do you know that? Because I'm a preacher, and I've preached for a long time, and half the time the people I've talked with don't have a clue what I just said for 30 minutes. You know, some do, some don't. You see what I'm saying? Or maybe you've talked to someone for some time, and you've spent 8 or 10 minutes describing something, and then they say, what did you just say? So you got a sender, you got a receiver, but Communication happens in this third block. You got an understood message. Sender, receiver, understood message. So when you're communicating with a brother and sister in Christ, and you're not sure, this is what I always do. I will say, Tony, are you telling me this? And then I repeat it back to him, whatever we're talking about. And Tony says, that's not what I'm saying at all. I said, okay, help me again. Tell me again. So he tells me, I repeat it back. He says, that's exactly what I'm saying. My wife and I do this all the time. She'll say something, and she said, now you tell me what I just said. So I will try, and she said, that's not what I said. I said, well, let's try again, okay, and vice versa. So good communication has a sender, has a receiver, and has an understood message. And so often in church times, we think, well, everybody knows that. We don't have to say that, but I had a seminary professor that said, tell the people, tell them again, and then tell them that you told them. I think that's pretty good because we have to hear it over and over and over. So clear communication is really, really important. And then he shared that unity requires us to be mutually submitted to one another. And that's a scripture we're going to look at because it says that. He called it MVS, which stands for mutual voluntary submission. When we as members of the body of Christ voluntarily submit to one another for the good of others. Have you seen this before? J-O-Y, Jesus, others, and you. That order, right? Jesus is number one, not you. And then secondly, we ought to think about our brothers and sisters. And we're there, but we're not first or second. We're third. Matter of fact, there's a whole thing called I am second, Jesus and me. But Jesus, others, and then you. And so we ought to submit to each other and have a servant's heart. That's what Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. And when we willingly submit to each other, great power is released, I think, in the church when we do that, because it shows God shows up and does great things. Then he talked about unity sometimes requires confrontation, and then he ended by talking about making the church a gossip-free and faith-filled safe place. Satan loves innuendos and half-truths. A half-truth is a total lie. You know that, don't you? Even a two-thirds truth is a lie. 99% of something that's not truthful is a lie, is what I'm trying to say, right? If it's got any untruth in it. And so he talked about reducing gossip and not doing that. When I served churches, I did a new member thing. And I talked about conflict, and I talked about using Matthew 18, if you go through conflict, you know, which is go to the person. If that doesn't work, take another brother or sister. If that doesn't work, then you kind of go to the next level. And the last level, if it doesn't work, and it's something major, then the church gets involved. And if necessary, the church disciplines that person or excommunicates them in some way. That's probably not a good word to use, but pretty much church discipline, right? And, you know, very seldom do we have to do that, but sometimes we do. And so I think this whole idea that you're doing is great, looking at this one passage of Scripture and really praying through it and asking God to give your church. By the way, I've been praying for your church since I was here that first Sunday for the Lord to provide you with your next pastor and that just this whole process. And I'm still, is it okay that I pray for y'all? You're not the only church I'm praying for. We got a lot of churches right now in our network without pastors and some more coming up. But I pray that God leads you clearly to that. Well, let's look at Ephesians 4, and I promise we'll be done before the second half is over. I'm kidding. I got to drive all the way back to Versailles to watch this game, so I'll be there in time. Ephesians 4. Would somebody like to read... verses 1 through 6, would somebody like to read that in its entirety? Anybody like to just stand up where you are and read that? Anybody else? I'm kidding. Okay, yes, ma'am. Amen. Thank you so much. A lot of ones in there, isn't it? 1-1-1. It talks about unity and then one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. So clear there. By the way, you know that Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon have something in common. And you know what that is, don't you? What did they have in common, those four letters that Paul wrote of his 13 letters? He wrote those from a certain place. Prison. They're prison epistles, prison letters. And I thought about that when I studied those letters, like what we just read, and I thought, what would I have written if I was in prison? I would have said, please come and bail me out. You know, get me a file where I can cut these bars off and escape. Paul never mentions that in any of those four letters. What he does instead is he encourages the churches there to grow, to handle things, to be unified. That was Paul's heart, and that's why he did that. Paul's not concerned about his own needs. He's concerned about the church at Ephesus, and he deals with that. In this one, the little outline that George gave you says, pray the following personal prayer. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he said, Lord, this is a great prayer. We each have a calling on our life. Every one of us here are called. You say, you're saying we're all called to ministry? Yeah, we're all called to serve and all called to ministry. Some of us are called vocationally and we serve in a vocational way, like pastors and your staff. But make no mistake, we're all called to serve the Lord. And it says, calling on our life individually and as a church family, for which I am very grateful, to fulfill our calling and accomplish our purpose for Central Baptist Church. We must live in unity. And he went on to say, Satan loves to destroy the unity of your people with divisiveness. Where we've been divided, Lord, draw us together in strength and forgiveness for one another. Great and mighty God, you've placed on my life a calling to serve you. You've led me here to this church. Help me to carry out my calling in unity with all the family members in the body of Christ. By the power of your Holy Spirit, help me to be patient with my brothers and sisters here. Help them to be patient with me. All of us are called. We're called to work together, to pray together, to serve together, to give together, and for the church and us to accomplish the calling we have, we've got to have unity. And that's the first part of this that he wanted us to pray about. So I'd like just to take a moment, and this is what George wanted. I'm going to do it maybe a little differently, but I want to take a moment, and I want you just to take a 20 or 30 seconds and pray specifically. You may have that prayer guide, but pray that and pray specifically for the unity of your church in the future days, that God gives you a strong, unified body. And after about 30 seconds or so, I'm going to ask if anyone would like to pray in that line out loud for a moment or two, okay? And we're going to actually take these five bullets and do that for each one. So let's take a moment, pray silently for the unity of your church, and then in a moment I'm going to ask if no one prays out loud, that's fine. I do a close, and then we're going to go on to the next one. Let's pray. Let's pray silently, and then I will ask for somebody to maybe pray out loud, okay? Anyone want a voice of prayer for unity in your church? Doesn't have to be long. Could be just a sentence. If anyone feels led to do that, go ahead. Amen. Amen. You know, one reason unity is hard for me is because I'm so selfish. Will you admit tonight that most of us are pretty selfish people? I want it my way. I like it my way. I know what I want. And the more we yield to the Lordship of Christ, the less selfish we are, right? The more we're concerned about a brother or a sister and not ourselves. Thank you for prayer. The next part here deals a little bit with verses 2 and 3 in this passage. Again, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul says, implore you to walk, that is to live in a manner worthy of your calling, which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. You know, I looked at this and made me think of Galatians 5:22, the nine fruit of the Spirit, five of them really are here. When you look at this verse, you look at gentleness and patience, you look at love, and you look at peace in there. By the way, if you want to learn Galatians 5:22, here's how to do it real quickly. Nine fruit of the Spirit. The first three are single syllables. The second three are double syllables, and the third three are triple syllables. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Say love, joy, peace. Patience, kindness, goodness. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Now you know Galatians 5:22. Somebody said that to me, and immediately that verse kind of came alive. So that's what that says. Well, this next part, the personal prayer part here, is it says, thank you, Lord, for choosing to use us in your service. I know you did not choose me alone to act and serve alone. You've placed us in the body of believers with the gifts and talents here at Central Baptist Church at this particular time in history. Help us, Lord, and lead us to understand your true unity of believers and our part of solidarity in this journey as a body of believers. Lead us in following others in this body, not conforming to the world, but being transformed to develop our gifts and talents for your service in the betterment of the entire body. We need you, and we ask, Lord, that you would grant us your power and wisdom from your Holy Spirit. So in this one, we're really praying for the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives and for us to just continue serving the way God wants us to serve. Take a few minutes and pray that the gifts and talents that God has blessed this church with and that you have and that every member has will really be used in a great way in the days ahead. Let's take a few moments and pray for that. Father, your word that we're praying back to you says clearly that there's one body and one spirit, just as you have called each one of us to hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Lord, thank you for the gifts and talents that are in this church. I pray, God, that everyone really uses those talents and abilities and spiritual gifts to work and serve, Father, here in this church. Even during this time, Lord, of transition, that, Father, people will volunteer for new positions and volunteer to help and to serve. And the church, Lord, might become stronger day by day and week by week as it accomplishes, Father, your mission. So, Father, we pray that you would continue to bless the gifts and the talents that you have given this particular body of Christ, Central Baptist Church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The third day on here is to thank the Lord for giving us the freedom of choice that we get to choose and the calling God's given us and for God to teach us the next steps he wants us to take in our calling, to have a clear mind, to clear our mind of all the distractions so that we can hear from God. What are some of the things that distract us from hearing God? There's a bunch of them. Throw out some.
TV, internet.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. 24/7 news, yeah. What else? Fear. Sometimes we're just afraid. That distracts us. The devil's always trying to distract us in the world. There's a lot of distractions. In this one, we're talking about just clear communication with the Lord and with each other. Listening to the Spirit of God. Listening to the Spirit of God. That is so, I think, very, very important for us to do as believers, as a church. And part of this prayer, he says, Lord, grant our leaders a spirit of communication, so explicit, so divine, that not one person inside or outside the church can question what you alone desire from our church. And give us a set of spiritual ears to listen to you and listen to our brothers and sisters in Christ. That's a good prayer. Let's pray. And on this point, pray that all of us have a listening spirit, that we're listening to the Lord, and that we don't let anything distract us from what God wants us to do here in this place. Spend just a couple moments silence praying that, if you will. Anyone want to voice just a quick prayer along that line that really listen to God's Spirit and His leadership in our church. God, there's a lot of voices out there. Help us, Lord, to listen to your voice. Help us, Lord, to get rid of the distractions and help us to focus on you and your word alone. In Jesus' name, amen. The last two here, and then we'll conclude. I have one other little passage I think that relates so well to this I want to read. Day four and day five in your reading deals with Ephesians 4:2. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. And I love this prayer George wrote. Lord, I admit to you when I put my desires first, I'm not being humble. I am not always gentle. I'm not always patient with others, even though I usually think I am. Forgive me where I am short with others when I am acting out of my desires and my wants. Forgive me when I think less of others. Remind me daily that you love every other person whom you created in your image as much as you love me. And then he says, Heavenly Father, when I think others have treated me or someone else wrongly, lead me to pray for them and not begrudge them. Direct me to turn to you and trust your Holy Spirit for guidance. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, lead me to bear with others in love as you always bear with me in love. Aren't you glad God's patient with us? If God wasn't patient with me, I would have been out of ministry 40 years ago. But he loved me and accepted me, and I learned as probably more from my mistakes than my successes. And I'm so grateful for that. The last day, day five, deals with somewhat with not gossiping. He talks about that, that the enemy wants to divide and conquer. He says, by the almighty power of your Holy Spirit, give us the strength and courage to rebuke Satan and the enemies of God's people in the name of Christ. Give us the boldness to turn and run from any appearance of evil, including listening to, condoning, or sharing any information that would bring harm to the body or the bride of Christ. I do not want to stand before you one day, Lord, and have you say that I was one of those church gossips that caused problems. Forgive me now and clear a straight path for me to follow in answering my calling. Help me to run from all these acts of evil, big and small. And that's really important. I want to share one other passage of Scripture with you, and then this is a lock-in, right? We go till 7:45 a.m., right? I was in youth ministry for a long time. It kind of warped me. But I want to share, John 17 is so similar to this passage, and when I was looking at that, it made me think of it. John 17 really is the high priestly prayer where Jesus prays for us. Do you know Jesus prayed for you personally when he's here on earth? And I want to read that, and then I close us in prayer. But I want you to see this. I won't read it all, but go back and read John 17. But verse 13, Jesus said, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We're in the world. We're not of the world, right? We're in the world. We work. We're aliens in this place. This is not our home. Then verse 15 says, I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you've sent me into the world, I'm also sending them to the world. All of us are sent. Okay, we said we're all called, right? We're all called, and we're all sent. All of us have that in common. God has sent us to do good work. For their sakes, I sanctify myself that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. Here it is, this oneness. Even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now look at this next part. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them that they may be one, just as we are one. I and them and you and me, that they may be perfected in, here's the word again, unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. Interesting. Interesting. Jesus is saying there's a connection here in verse 23 to our unity in Christ in a church and evangelism. You see it? I and them, you and me, verse 23, that they may be perfected in unity so that the world may know that you sent me. Unity in a church attracts non-believers. Disunity in a church makes non-believers think, well, that's just like my business. That's just like everything else I'm a part of. Church is no different than clubs or anything else I'm a part of because we have the same problems. Are you following me, church? But when we have that unity and that fellowship, people will break the doors down, I believe, to be a part of it. Because people are looking for that today. They're just looking in the wrong places. But we've got the message, don't we? And we've got the answer, and it's Jesus. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for being patient with us, Lord. And Father, forgive us when we do say ugly things that we should not say about a brother or sister in Christ or another church or whoever that might be. God, forgive us. Father, we pray for unity. And Father, help us to see that when we're unified, Lord, it wakes up the world because we have something they don't have. And like the first century church, Lord, they said, look how those people love each other. Father, send us revival. Send us unity. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Help us to be the church 24/7. Father, thank you for these good folks. Thank you for this church, Lord. I pray you would continue to guide them and direct them. I pray specifically, Lord, for George, for healing, and that you bless him. And pray, Lord, just for a great outpouring of your Spirit this coming Sunday in worship and the days ahead. And we pray all this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Well, folks, thanks so much for being here. And if you buy a bull and you have just one word to come and get it, just remember, come for the bull, okay? But God bless you. It's good to see you tonight.